let's just prepare our hearts right now to receive God's Word. Father, we come to You in the name of Jesus. And we just open up ourselves right now to Your Word. And I just pray right now in Jesus' name that everything that needs to be said will be said now, and that we'll receive and do what You've called us to do in Jesus' name. I mentioned this pastor friend, that he's a new friend of ours. He's an Australian. He lives in Hong Kong. And he's the pastor of Sky City Church. Long story, but the favor of God, but they meet on the 75th floor of a high-rise in Hong Kong. Actually, they meet on the roof. There's an atrium above the roof. They literally meet. It's probably highest off-of-the-ground church in the world. They're 75 floors up. But Pastor Wayne Crook, preached a message at this pastor's conference in Yangon, Myanmar, called Bounce. And it just kind of inspired something in me. I'm preaching a tiny bit of his message, but mostly it's mine. But the idea came from him, and so I wanted to give him credit. But bounce, the definition of bounce is that when hitting a surface, an object moves away from that surface. So you need to be inflated to bounce. We all have great moments in our life that's usually followed by some not-so-great moments. Anybody give me an amen to that? We all face a barrage of temptations. We all face an enemy of our soul, a thief, Jesus called him, who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so we're all going to face this moment when we're going to hit the surface. We're going to kind of bottom out sometimes. That's not a faith confession. That's just a fact of life. Understand? We have an enemy. We have temptations that we face. And it's really important that we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? Because the fact of the matter is we're going to go from highs to lows sometimes. And if you're not properly inflated, you're not full of the Holy Spirit, you haven't prepared for this moment. That's why we're preaching this message through the Lord's Prayer. And today is that part of the prayer that says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Prayer, according to Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, is spiritual warfare. He told us to put on the whole armor of God so that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That we put on all of this pieces of armor. And verse 16 says, so that we could pray with all kinds of prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So I'm just telling you, it is spiritual warfare, the prayer that we pray. And it causes us to overcome the enemy, and it causes us to bounce when we hit that surface. So if you're not properly inflated, basically that's what happens to you. You bottom out. And you just don't bounce back. But we want to be able to bounce back. When we hit the wall, we want to bounce. Right? We want to bounce back. We can't prevent temptation from coming. We can't prevent the enemy from attacking us. But we can bounce. We can bounce back. We don't have to just be deflated and just defeated. But we can rise above. And the thing is, we want to keep bouncing a little bit higher than before. We want our bottoms to be a little, we don't want them to be as low as they used to be, and then we want to bounce higher from that. Are you following me? We want to bounce. Everybody say bounce. But in Ephesians chapter 6, and I'm going to have to zoom through this, okay? It says that our loins are to be girt about with truth. We're talking about prayer. We're talking about lead us not into temptation. We're talking about being delivered from evil. We're talking about overcoming the enemy. Our loins are girt about with truth, Ephesians 6. And so I want you to think about from your ribs to your hip bone, that's your loins. That's your core. That's the core of your being. If you know much about athletics or exercise, it's all about your core. When you're getting in shape for whatever it is, if your core is not strong, you're going to be defeated. And so that's why we work on all this core strength. It's the center of our physical being. It covers our digestive system and our reproductive organs. And I'm telling you what, a lot of people get in trouble right there, don't they? They're defeated right there. And you need to have your loins girt about with truth. Psalm 51 verse 6 says, "Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts you will make known wisdom to us." We have this breastplate of righteousness. This breastplate that's guarding all of our vital organs. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. It's very important to understand that we're righteous. We put on the breastplate of righteousness because it's that righteousness that allows us to stand in the presence of God without any sense of guilt, without any sense of shame, without any sense of embarrassment, as if sin never existed in our life. It's that ticket that we know that we know that we know that we belong in God's presence. In James chapter 5, verse 16, it says that the prayers of the righteous are powerful and effective. And you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus if you're born again. You are right with God. And it causes us to have this boldness with God. Our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In hand-to-hand combat, the ability to stand firmly, come on, is vital. Being able to stand and being able to sidestep, being able to step back and be able to pursue our enemy is so vital. You know, I was told, I never did much fighting. The last really good fight I was in was 7th grade. Okay, that was a long time ago for me. But I was told by a guy who did a lot of fighting, that if you ever had to fight your way out of something, he said, you know, you want to catch that person off guard. You want to catch that other person off guard. So if you think you're going to have to fight your way out of something, I mean, before they're set and ready, you just punch them as hard as you can right in the middle of their face, break their nose, their eyes will water, and then just keep pounding. I don't know. I've never had to use it. I'm just telling you what I was told. But if you ever let that guy get set, and his feet planted, are you listening to me? It's so important that our feet are set if we're going to defeat the enemy. Psalm 66, verse 8 and 9 says, "Bless our God, O peoples, let the sound of his praise be heard, who has kept our soul among the living and has not let our feet slip." Somebody say amen. Psalm 18 says this, "God has equipped me with strength and made my way blameless. He made my feet like the feet of a deer and set me secure on the heights." We have this shield of faith that's protecting us. Proverbs 30 verse 5 says, "Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him." We have this helmet of salvation. Psalm 140 verse 7 says, "O Lord my God, the strength of my salvation. You have covered my head. You have covered my head in the day of battle." And we take up the sword of the Spirit, which is what? What is the sword of the Spirit? It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. Psalm 149 says, "Let the praises of God be in their throats and a two-edged sword in their hand." Hebrews 4 verse 12 says, "For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and the discerning of thoughts." Guys, it's really important. You say, well, why am I supposed to read my Bible? It's because you're going to face that day where you're going to need to learn how to bounce. You have an enemy. He's trying to take you down. If he's going to try to take you down with temptations, you need to have your loins girt about with truth. You need to have on the breastplate of righteousness so that you know you're the righteousness of God. You know who you are. You put off the old man and you put on the new man, which is created by God. And you need to put on the helm of salvation, because you're going to have all these thoughts that come against you all the time that tells you that God doesn't love you, that it doesn't matter that much what you do. I've heard people, after they've fallen into terrible, terrible, terrible sin, terrible, egregious, horrendous sin, say things like, "I don't think God really is having a problem with this." Man, they're not wearing their helmet, or it's on backwards or something. Because you can't have on your helmet of salvation and say something that stupid. Like, it doesn't matter. Man, sin is a destroyer. Don't ever be deceived. You need to keep on your helmet of salvation, because you're in a warfare. Ephesians 6. For our battle is not against what? Flesh and blood, but against things that we can't see. But things that we can't see are still real. We have an enemy, and the fact of the matter is, because he is unseen, makes him more dangerous. And so many people are defeated because they are not fighting this good fight of faith. Everything's okay. Well, that's great, as long as, you know, you're on the high end of things. As long as everything's going well for you. You can probably skate by without your daily prayer life. Because, come on, it's going good. But what about that day? I mean, have you ever had a day that you weren't prepared for? That phone call, that whatever. And guys, if you aren't full of the Holy Spirit in that moment, if you're not prepared, you haven't been keeping yourself built up in faith, praying daily, I mean, worshiping God. Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Every day we ought to be just worshiping God and giving glory and honor to His name. Because He's what? Our healer. That's one of His names. He's our provider. That's one of His names. He's our victory. That's one of His names. He's our shepherd. That's one of His names. He's our peace. That's one of His names. And we ought to every day be thanking God and praising God for who He is, and worshiping Him by His name. And every day, multiple times a day, we ought to be praying, "Lord, Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Because you want to know why Cameron's going so well? We didn't pray and ask God to bless our plan. God gave us His plan, and it was blessed. See the difference? So often we're asking God to bless this and bless that and do this and do that, and we haven't even ever asked, "Is this Your will for my life?" But if every single day of our life we say, "Lord, not my will," like Jesus did in the garden, "Not my will, but Your will be done. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Jesus told us to pray and ask for our needs to be met, but it was first that we surrendered our will to His will. And then we can say, "Give us this day our daily bread." Then we can ask for our needs to be met. And of course, every day we can say, "God, forgive me." And every day we can say, "Forgive those who've sinned against me." But there's a vital part of that prayer that has to do with victory over our enemy. Victory over temptation. And you need to stay inflated so that you bounce. "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Because there's a day coming, and it could be this afternoon, it could be next week, and I hope it doesn't come for a long time. But in this world, the godly are going to suffer temptation. And in that day, I need you to bounce. But, you know, like this morning, because I've been gone. I had this illustration, but then I wasn't prepared. I was hustling around, looking around for interrupting Sunday school classes, trying to find balls and needles and pumps and all this stuff. And in that day, it's too late for all of that, because if you're not inflated at that moment, you're just going to be defeated. It's too late. That's why our daily maintenance, that's why our daily prayer life, that's why our daily time with the Lord, that's why every day we're praying through this Lord's Prayer, so that in that moment of temptation, we're already prepared to stand and stand firm. Are you listening to me? Bouncy people take control of their own life. Don't make excuses. It's not somebody else's fault. Bouncy people take control of their own life. Number two, bouncy people, you know what I mean? People that are going to bounce back. Surround themselves with the right people. Because let's just be honest, there's some people in our life that are going to lift us up, and there's some people in life that are going to take us down, and you know the difference, and you know who I'm talking about. And so if there's people in your life that are bringing you down, you just need to reduce your exposure to them. That's just the way it is. And there's going to be some people in your life that are going to cause you to bounce, that are going to lift you up, and you need more exposure to them. That's why. Come on. I don't know much about war. I was never in the military. Not much of a fighter. I mean, look at me. Come on. I get beat up a lot. So this is just smart not to be a fighter, little as I am. But there's one strategy of warfare that just works. It's called divide and conquer. And I hear from you guys all the time about how your spiritual life just isn't what it used to be. It's not what you want it to be. And I try to encourage you so much. I mean, are you involved in a Sunday school class? Are you involved in a disciple group? Well, no. And I can just tell you, you've got too many people that are dragging you down in your life and not enough people that are bringing you up. And if you spent more time with the right kind of people, you'd bounce better. You would just bounce better, because bouncy people surround themselves with the right kind of people. Number three, bouncy people allow pain to spur growth rather than self-pity. So we're all going to suffer. We're all going to suffer. And we can allow that to cause us to become bitter and feel sorry for ourselves, or in that moment of temptation, that moment of trial when things are difficult, we can just grow from those experiences. I mean, we're all going to go through the wilderness. You're either going to come out of the wilderness completely defeated, or you're going to come out strengthened and emboldened, because in that moment you found God and you got a hold of God and some things. See, number four, and this is final. Bouncy people insist on changing what they can change and not worrying about the rest. I talked to a pastor some time ago, and I was trying to get some advice on how we'd handled a certain situation. And I just didn't feel like we had done a good job. I said, man, what should we have done? He said, you know what? Whatever you decided to do was going to be bad. You had a bad situation, and every decision that you were going to make was going to be bad. Are you following me? Like, there wasn't a good decision to make. You know what bouncy people do? They do what they can and not worry about the things that are out of their control. I don't know why that liberated me so much, but I thought, I'm in a bad situation that we didn't create, and nothing we could do is going to be right. So just make a decision and live with it and move on. Bounce. Because we worry about things that we have no control over and about things that we can do nothing about. Do what you can.
and don't worry about the things that are out of your control. Can you say amen? My last thought, miracle. People are like stained glass windows. You want to write this down. People are like stained glass windows. They shine when the sun is out. Hey, it's easy to shine when the sun is out. But you know what? That stained glass window shines only because there's light within it. It's easy to shine when the sun's out, but your stained glass window, your life, is only going to shine when it's darkness all around you if there's a light within you. So the Bible says that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's you. You're whoever. And if you need to call on the Lord and be saved today, I don't care if you were 8 years old and you got baptized, you know you've been away from God, and you know you're not right with God, and there's something on the inside of you that's drawing you back to God, you need to be saved. So call on the name of the Lord and be saved. Maybe you've never had a thought in the world ever of giving your life to the Lord. But there's something on the inside of you that says, there is a God who created me. And there's a Jesus who came and lived a sinless life and then died for me and rose again from the dead. And there's something in me that's compelling me to call on His name and be saved today. So before you leave this building, why don't you just come down here and let us pray with you right now? Why don't you call on the name of the Lord and be saved? If you've been away from God and you come back to God, then today's a great day for you. Call on the name of the Lord Jesus and be saved. While we sing about this good, good Father, Chad will dismiss, but I'll stand up here. And if you need somebody to pray with you, I'm going to be up here to pray with you. We love you. God bless you.